Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Coming to you from an undisclosed broadcast location. One voice delivering truth and pain. Presented by Guns.com. Trusted by millions of gun owners nationwide. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three from the Guns.com radio studio. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American-made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Check them out, DeSantisHolster.com. Well, I didn't get to talk to him at all last week. I'm in sort of a little bit of a withdrawal. But joining us again from Yuma, Arizona, is writer and just all around dude, Dean Weingarten. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Well, let's kick this off because as soon as I went and I looked at what the latest in the world of Dean was, I see this thing about this Wyoming grizzly, and that this story is actually 12 years old. Do you have to go out and request details to this? Is this something they just don't make available?
Right. What this story is from a series of events where we, how to say, AMLAN, requested in a Freedom of Information Act request information about defensive uses of firearms against bears. And what happens is these cases are often investigated. But because of the cancel culture and, people who don't want any animal killed and are willing to go to great lengths to harass people who have to kill animals, the people involved don't want their name released to the public. So they do not seek out media attention, and the agencies that investigate are not allowed to release their names without permission, and so the events never get any publicity. And we found, with this Freedom of Information Act request, we found a couple of dozen of events where people defended themselves against bears, which have otherwise not been published as far as we can tell. And we think these are worthy, newsworthy events. And so what has happened, we've taken the best of these, and I've gone through and written them up in a format that is not officialese, that's a little more easily understood, and taken pictures where they had them, and put them as articles on AMLAN. And that's why this one was not recorded or reported on for about, 11 years, I think.
Right.
So that's where these are coming from. I think it's a worthwhile exercise.
Well, I mean, I love the forensic dive that you take on them. Tell me the details of this particular hunt that turned into a self-defense capade.
Yes. Well, we had hunters in Wyoming they're hunting elk in a pretty wild part of Wyoming. I mean, that's kind of where you expect an elk hunter to hunt. And they were successful, and they got a nice bull. And it was getting dark, the latter part of the day, and they're away from camp. So they did a field, what's called a field dressing on the elk, whereas they remove the internal organs. And as a way to partially protect their kill from bears, they removed those internal organs and dragged them about 50 yards away from the elk. But then they left it, figuring that they would send people back to retrieve the meat and the head and the horns the next day. And that was October 18th, 2010. So the next day, three people went back to retrieve the elk. And I don't know, because they've redacted the identities, if any of those were there the day before. It's not clear. On the previous day, one of the hunters had left a fluorescent orange hat up in a tree, so it'd be a little easier to find the site of the kill. And these three guys with horses went to collect the elk meat and trophy. And I just refer to them as guide, wrangler, and hunter because no names are given and you want to differentiate them somehow so people can follow the story easier. So, the three men, and from the what pictures are shown, even though faces are kept out, I'm 99% sure they were men, traveled ways, and the terrain got more and more difficult. And after they cut a couple of trees out of the way, they finally got to the point where there was so much down timber, and the terrain was so steep, and they were close enough to where the kill of the elk had occurred that they decided they couldn't take the horses any further. So they left the horses, and they ate a sandwich, and they took out binoculars and looked around to see if there were any bears in the area because they knew that this was a potential danger. Then they continued on to where they had left the elk. And the person called Guide had a holstered 44 Magnum revolver. Wrangler had a 12-gauge pump shotgun. They had three rounds of bird shot and a low recoil round of double-aught buckshot because the last round, the first round loaded in and the last round to be shot out of the shotgun. And the hunter had a holstered 45 semi-automatic pistol. And I thought it's kind of interesting because Guide told Wrangler, make sure a round is chambered in the shotgun. And he said, we need to go slow because they didn't want to get into trouble with bears. So they're about 200 yards away. And they start getting closer and closer. And they see this fluorescent orange hat one of the hunters had hung on a tree to mark the site. So the hunter pulls out binoculars and looks around for bears some more. But he doesn't see any. So they keep on going toward the kill site. And they're going up slope, you know, traveling uphill. And here a grizzly bear pops up and charges at Wrangler. And guess what? Wrangler had not put a round in the chamber of the shotgun. And Guide yells at Wrangler, shoot a warning shot. And in the excitement, Wrangler can't chamber a round. Well, if you ever had a pump shotgun and messed around with it, they have a lock. The lock unlocks when you fire. Or right. There's a little lever usually that you press to unlock it. If you right. don't press the lever or pull the trigger, it stays locked and you can't chamber a round.
Right.
And I suspect that was what was happening with Wrangler. It sounds like he wasn't very familiar with the controls on this pump shotgun. And so he starts moving downhill toward Guide. Well, Guide grabs the shotgun, chambers around and fires three warning shots of bird shot behind and over the bear. As a cub had appeared in here at some point, and the cub and the bear, the sow, move away and into a gulch. Then Hunter says, hey, the gut pile's been completely eaten.
Hang on right there. So hang on right there. Pick this up when we get back. It's just like a cliffhanger, isn't it? Talking to Dean Weingarten, this is Lock and Load. Texas Sights makes the brightest, fastest night sights in any light. Are you truly prepared for a high-stress self-defense situation at any time, day or night? Improve your self-defense capabilities with XS's Tritium Night Sights. From big dots to three dots, XS has options that deliver bright and easy-to-see sights in low light, bright light, or at the range. Use promo code LNL21 for 10% off your purchase. Get on target faster in any light with XS Sights. What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Guns.com radio studio. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealed. concealment.
We perfected it. Go to holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Check them out, DeSantisHolster.com. Talking to Dean Weingarten, we're talking about this bear that, everybody seemed to be armed.
Yeah, the bear wanted the elk, and the hunters wanted the elk they'd taken as well. That's what they were there for, to get the elk, elk quarters and the head and the antlers and take it back. So they had just fired warning shots at over and behind the grizzly and the cub had taken off and left, at least out of sight. So Hunter just said that the gut pile had just been completely eaten. So the three men are about 100 yards from the elk carcass now, and they're downslope. And they continue on, and they find that the elk has been only slightly disturbed. One small bite had been taken from one hind quarter. So they start processing the elk into quarters. That's where you cut the quarters away from the rest of the carcass, and you take the most desirable cuts of meat from what's left, and you have the head and the shape with the antlers on as well. And it takes a little bit of while to do this. An elk is a big animal, and you have to pull the skin away, or at least cut it for the meat. If you're going to drag the quarters, you probably leave the skin on. So they're processing the elk for about an hour, and suddenly there's the bears again. They're down slope, but they're getting closer. So the three men stop processing the elk, and they start throwing rocks at the bears, and they roll some rocks down the slope toward the bears. Now, you know it has to be a pretty steep slope if a rock will roll down it toward bears. So then the bears back off again and go out of sight. So because these bears are making life difficult, and they don't want to have to hang around any longer than they have to, they finish processing the elk, and they make the decision that they're going to take everything they want back to the horses in one trip. Now, you got a big bull elk, and you want the head and the horns and the meat in the quarters. That's a lot for three men to carry. So they're pretty heavily loaded, and they're actually not carrying at all. The guide and the hunter are carrying packs with meat in it and dragging the hind quarters, because dragging something, especially if you're going downslope, is a lot easier than actually carrying it. Wrangler is carrying a pack with one of the front quarters in it and the head and the cape. And the head has the antlers on.
Right.
And he also has the shotgun. So they try to move away from where they saw the bears, you know, because they're going downslope and there's drainage, so they're moving on the side, the far side away from where the bears were, to try to maximize the distance. Hunter is in the lead. He's got a 45 in a holster. Wrangler is the middle with the shotgun. Guide's bringing up the rear. He's got a holstered 44 mag. He also has a walking stick to help on the steep terrain. And he's having difficulty keeping up with Hunter and Wrangler, dragging this big hind quarter and with a heavily loaded pack as well. So Wrangler, I mean, each one of these are probably toting over 100 pounds. So Wrangler keeps, he's in the middle, Wrangler's in the middle. He keeps looking back to check on guys. They traveled about 200 yards when Wrangler yells out, "Guide!" And Guide believes it was a warning about the bear. And he looks to his right, but he doesn't see the bear. And then Wrangler yells, "She's right behind you!" And Guide said that the hair stood up on the back of his neck. And he swings his walking stick as hard as he can behind him while he's looking. And he sees the walking stick just miss the grizzly bear as he's swinging it. And the bear retreated a step back. So then Wrangler yells, this is all happening very, very fast. Wrangler yells, moving left, because the bear is right behind guide, and he doesn't have a clear shot. So he's got to move off to the side so that he can get a shot. Then the hunter, who's ahead, draws his 45, but he doesn't have a clear shot because Wrangler's in between him and guide and the bear. So then the bear, like I said, took about a step away or so. It retreated, and then it turned, and then it came at guide from 9 feet away. The guy drew his 44 Magnum, and he fires one shot, and then Wrangler fires with the shotgun just slightly after guide's shot goes off, almost the same time. And the shotgun's loaded with double-aught buckshot. And the bear takes a couple of steps, drops, and rolls down slope. And both shots, as we find out later, were probably deadly shots. The 44 went between the shoulders, just slightly off to the right of the bear, left of the shooter, and down into the chest cavity. It wasn't clear if it hit the spine, but it was very close to the spine if it didn't hit it. And then the double-aught buck hit the group of buckshot. It was only about 10 yards for the shot, so it's a pretty tight group yet. Hit in the back part of the thoracic cavity where the lungs and heart are. Now, I think it was a little too far back to hit the heart, but it definitely hit the lungs. And the bear, the way the bear acted, they were sure the bear was dead. So they caught their breath. Then they continued to transport the elk quarters and cape with the head to the horses. And the guide said he was so shaken up, he could not tie his elk quarter on properly. And they had to stop and retie. And that's quite an admission for an elk hunting guide.
Yeah.
He couldn't tie a quarter of an elk onto the pack animal correctly.
Well, let me get you a hang on right there, coming up on the next break. And Dean, of course, this is on this is one of his latest articles to be published at Ammoland. Dean's the only one that covers these bear attacks as well as anybody does. He's the only one doing it, and it's a fascinating topic. Ammoland.com. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
No such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in a gunfight. No compromise, no sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
In the 21st century, the handgun has become the preeminent self-defense tool. At Z&H Precision, we specialize in taking your weapon to the highest degree of functionality possible. With a complete array of goods and services specializing in red dot sight installation, Z&H Precision will help you realize the most effective handgun the first time. If you need slide milling, installation, or accessories, go to chpws.com. Z&H Precision, welcome to the Boom Squad.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
As tensions continue around Ukraine, New York Representative Claudia Tenney said on Newsmax that we're not in a strategically good position should Russia decide to invade Ukraine.
Real banking sanctions probably aren't that effective against Putin right now because the European allies are so dependent on Putin for energy and its natural gas and the pipeline he's already now got a green light on thanks to Joe Biden. And they're desperate. Strategically, we're not in a great position. Putin it's just stalling. And it's concerning, though, what Russia really wants to do.
Tenney also pointed out that congressional Republicans put together a strict and severe sanctions package months ago against Russia, but Democrats rejected it. Average daily COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations are continuing to fall in the U.S., an indication that the Omicron variant's hold is weakening. Deaths, however, are still at around 2,000 per day. This is USA Radio News. Australia's borders will finally be open post-pandemic. And with that story, here's USA Radio's Ken Burns.
Australia's borders have been closed for leisure and business travelers since the pandemic began, but officials in that country said they plan on reopening the borders to international travelers. Citizens and residents there have been allowed to travel in and out of the country since November. International students and some employees were allowed in shortly thereafter. The opening of Aussie borders is a signal that the country is moving from a zero-COVID strategy to one where people live with the virus. Australia has a 94% vaccination rate, which is among the highest of most countries of the world. For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns.
The sister of infamous Ponzi schemer Bernie Madoff and her husband have been found dead in an apparent murder-suicide. Deputies found 87-year-old Sandra Wiener and her 90-year-old husband Marvin dead from gunshot wounds in their Florida home. Detectives have not disclosed which party carried out the murder-suicide and said the cause of death will ultimately be determined by the medical examiner. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Guns.com radio studio. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American-made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Check them out, DeSantisHolster.com. Talking to Dean Weingarten. He's been telling us about this elk hunt that became a self-defense situation. Give us a conclusion on this one, would you? Because I got one more I want to cover before the end of the day.
Very good. So, the bear is down. They loaded the elk quarters and cape and head on the horses. They went back to camp, and then the next day they contacted Wyoming Fish and Game and told them what happened. The wardens came out to meet the participants later that day. They interviewed them, they took written statements, and then they traveled to the shooting scene, and they took pictures and did a field necropsy of the bear. And in the article, they got pictures of all this. And the physical evidence was consistent with the oral and written statements of the participants. And that's one of the big things any investigator looks for. Are there inconsistencies? Is somebody lying about something? Everything lined up. And on 15 February 2011, they recommended the case be closed as they had received a letter of declination to prosecute from the U.S. Attorney's Office. So that's what happened in that case. And we only heard about it 10 to 11 years later.
Do they ever Do we ever see any of these cases where they actually get out there and decide to prosecute somebody for defending themselves against a bear?
Yeah. It's happened in, I can think, at least 3 or 4 cases, and you have mixed results. It's expensive to defend yourself in these cases, but there was a case up in, I think it was Montana, where the person who did the shooting felt that he was fully justified, and they went to court, and they dropped all charges. I don't think it even went to a jury trial. I think the judge said, no, there's no case here, and they dropped the charges. And then there was a case where a young man who was on a ranch, and the grizzly bears were raiding his chickens, and he said he fired at them just to scare them off with his .22 rimfire rifle, and the next morning 3 dead bears were found.
Wow.
Yeah. And so partly because he didn't claim that, you know, they were directly attacking him, he was charged, and I think they eventually settled for something, you know, less than the most horrible prosecution they could do. But that was the case, and then there's a couple of cases in this Freedom of Information Act that I've come across where prosecution was pursued, and I have to say, in some of them, it was seemed kind of warranted. I mean, when you have the person who shot the bear saying, "Hey, you know, I always wanted to shoot a bear, and you know, if you guys would just kind of look the other way, it would save me $20,000." Yeah, well, that doesn't sound like you're just an innocent guy, you know.
Right.
So there is certainly sometimes prosecutions do happen, but I usually don't. That's not where I'm trying to find examples of, so I don't generally write those up for Ammoland.
That interests me a great deal, simply because, like, I know in certain places, like in Alaska, if you kill a bear in self-defense, the problem that you're going to run into is that if you just leave the bear there, they're going to come after you for not harvesting the bear, right?
Right. Yeah, you have to salvage what you can, and it's a chore. So, you know, that's one of the reasons that people try to avoid shooting bears if they can, because a lot of work involving salvaging the hide and the head of a big grizzly. And then you can also, you have to report it as a defense of life and property.
Right.
And then, or, as I've learned in a case that will be included in later updates, oftentimes a defensive shooting is that somebody got a bear tag just in case they had to shoot a bear so that they wouldn't have to go through all that, and they could keep the hide and head as a trophy. And that happens more often than we think, I believe. I know at least 2 cases, and there's probably more. In Alaska, I'm talking about. Now, what we do see, and that's kind of interesting, is we see a lot more, percentage-wise, a much higher number of defenses against bears in the lower 48 than we do in Alaska. I think there's in the neighborhood of about 35 to 50,000 grizzly bears in Alaska. And there's about in the neighborhood of 2,000 grizzly bears in the lower 48.
Right.
But we see about the same number of fatal bear attacks in both places by grizzlies. In Alaska, the grizzly bears are routinely hunted. In the lower 48, we have not been allowed to hunt them for 50 years. So you have several generations of grizzlies in the lower 48 who have learned that people are harmless critters, and they'll never do anything to them, and they can take anything they want from people without consequence. So I think that is a big reason that we have different statistics for the two places.
That's actually how things become dangerous, right? When they're like, humans, food, humans, food,
yeah.
Humans.
Right. And, I can bluff humans away from anything. They always leave. There's never any consequence to me. They're not nearly as scary as they look at first. Yeah, that's what I think we've taught grizzly bears in the lower 48.
Yeah. Are black bears more aggressive than grizzlies?
No, just the opposite. They're much less aggressive. They tend to be
skittish.
More careful. Most of the attacks by black bears are predatory attacks rather than territorial attacks or defense of food cache or grizzly bears just have a reputation of being far, far more aggressive than black bears. And what we see is that black bears, if you hurt a black bear, they usually will run away. Sometimes, a lot of times, if you hurt a grizzly, they'll run away too, but not always. A lot of times, grizzlies just keep on fighting or attacking them. So there's a significant difference between the way black bears behave and grizzly bears. But we have so many more black bears. I mean, there's, I used to have the number, I think about 500,000 black bears in the U.S. And there's only, at most 50,000 grizzlies. So there's 10 times as many black bears, and maybe more than that. Black bears are common, and their populations are increasing over much of their range in the United States. So because you have so many black bears, you have just about the same number of attacks and fatalities with black bears as you do with grizzlies.
All right, when we get back, you just recently published an article. I want to hear about this. The first fatal polar bear attack ever recorded, I guess, in the United States. I want to hear about that as well. You can catch Dean's work. He has well over 1,900 articles at Amoland.com. Amoland.com is the biggest website of its kind on the internet. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Last time on the firing line from the guns.com radio studio. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment,
we perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Indeed, check them out, DeSantisHolster.com. Talking to Dean Weingarten. Dean does this series about bears. And we've been talking about bears the whole time. But now we're going to go back to a first. The first recorded fatal polar bear attack. Are there any other, do polar bears only maul from time to time, or do they always?
Well, they're very dangerous. And this is the first recorded polar bear attack that's fatal in the United States. I mean, there were probably plenty of others before this happened, but there was nobody around to record them because they happened to Stone Age people that didn't have publishing or written records. And there wasn't any polar bear territory in the United States until after we acquired Alaska from Russia in 1867. So that's what makes this the first fatal polar bear attack. It was the first one where somebody recorded it,
right?
And then it was also not long after Alaska became part of the USA. And I found out about it from Tom Smith, who's a famous bear researcher at Brigham Young University. And he told me about it in August of 2021, and it was recorded in a very well-known book to people who are interested in Arctic exploration called 50 Years Below Zero by Charles C. Brower. I got a copy of the book, and it's fascinating, worth reading by itself. He went up to the Arctic, to Alaska. He was 21 years old in 1884. He'd already spent 7 years at sea as a working sailor. He'd survived a couple of shipwrecks by the time, and he was 21 years old, and he's heading north to the Arctic to represent a company for looking for profit. And he had three firearms he mentions as having brought with him, a .44 rifle, which was probably an 1873 Winchester, than an old Colt revolver. Now, he's talking about things, you know, 50 years after the fact, so it would be old by then, that was, which was probably also an 1873 single-action army. And most likely they were in .44-40 caliber because the rifle's .44, and back then it wasn't called a .44-40 yet. It was just called a .44 Winchester. So he goes out hunting for seals, as it turns out, with his friend after he's been in the Arctic just about a year. It's June of 1885. And another Eskimo goes out with them, and this other Eskimo is armed with a double-barreled smoothbore muzzleloader shotgun. And one barrel is loaded with ball, and the other one has birdshot. So he's not really heavily armed. And they're going out on the ice looking for seal. And they're at what he describes as a water hole, which is probably fresh water melt in the salt water, in the ice. And his companion nudges him, and then he looks up and he sees three polar bears coming toward the three of them. The other Eskimo hunter had separated off some several hundred yards closer to shore. And two polar bears were coming right toward them, and then a third polar bear was coming toward the third man, the other Eskimo. And they get down on the ice, and it's rough ice, so they can hide. And as the two polar bears come up to them, they shoot and kill both of them. And it turns out to be a year-old cub and the sow. And the third bear kept going toward the other hunter and didn't pay any attention to the gunshot. And it's several hundred yards off, further than they can accurately shoot. And this other Eskimo doesn't fire. He appears reluctant. And the bear is, like, almost on top of him, and he finally shoots. And then it rears up, probably get a better look, and it takes off after the guy. The guy shoots again and then starts to run. But the second shot was birdshot in a muzzleloader. And the bear catches him in just a couple of bounds and strikes him with the paw to the head and then bites him under the arm. Then he leaves that dead body and moves toward the author, Brower, and his friend Kayuktu. And they're a couple hundred yards, several hundred yards off, and it seems kind of strange. And then they give this account of what happened. And he gets closer and closer and closer, and they wait until he's within just a few yards of them, and they both fire, and they manage to kill this third bear, which is a big boar. Now, he's, like I said, it seems a little unusual. Why would he kill this guy and then go after two more men? Well, it turns out, if you look at polar bear's characteristics, they're surplus killers. That is, they'll often kill a lot more than they can eat at the moment anyway. You know, like wolves do the same thing, and so do many members of the weasel family. Cats have been known to do it too, where they just get into this where there's this stuff here, so I'm going to kill it. We've seen it in even black bears. We've seen this, especially when it gets close to fall when they're going to get up. And then there's the other possibility that this big boar was following the sow and cub because mature polar bear boars often kill sows and eat them. And they polar bears regularly practice cannibalism. So, anyway, it was shot. It was probably with .44-40 in black powder. And it turns out that a .44-40 powered by black powder out of a rifle is almost identical in ballistics to a 10-millimeter pistol cartridge out of a pistol. They're only like 50 feet per second apart.
Right.
Very, very close. And you probably have a better bullet construction on the pistol, so I'd rate them just about equal in killing power. And you ask, are they, you know, are these fatal bear attacks common? Well, they're not in the U.S. But part of this is that most such events would have happened to Stone Age people before they could record it because they didn't have any means of recording it. And even when polar bear fatal attacks happen, they may not be recorded because this one was in a popular book that was published 50 years ago, and we only hear about it to bear researchers today. So there's probably other accounts. In fact, I was looking at a description of a database of polar bear attacks that's been put together by the United States Fish and Wildlife Service. We're hoping that we can get it with the Freedom of Information Act. And in that database, it lists three fatal polar bear attacks in the United States, but so far I only know of two. You know, this one in 1885 and another that was in 1990. So there's a third one. Hopefully we'll be able to get the information through a Freedom of Information Act.
That just kills me that you have to go through that just to get the information, just to put it out there. I mean, isn't that, wouldn't that be considered public education, to educate the public going out there?
Public information. I found out the person who designed the database and is keeping it. I found his email. I sent him an email. We'll see. Maybe he'll just give it to me instead of requiring us to go through Freedom of Information.
That would be very nice. We're about to run out of time. You think you're going to have some time come Friday?
I do. And it will be a pleasure, as it always is.
Outstanding, sir. I want to thank you for taking the time to join me today. And we will do it again on Friday.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, sir. I do appreciate it. And before we go away, pay attention to the ads you hear about Save GCN. Go check that out. Go check that out, if you would be so kind. SaveGCN.com. As for me, I'll be back here in about 21 hours. And between now and then, remember this, it has never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It has been, and it's always going to be, about total control. This has been Lock and Load. At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high quality distance education using time tested materials and hands on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.